Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Try Alive here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am joined by our co-host. Her name is Casey Randall. She is the founder of Be Alive. She is calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. Casey, how is it going?
It's going great, Robert. Seriously, this is sound funny, but I had trouble sleeping because I was excited to do this show today.
It's going to be a great show. It's an excellent story. It's such an inspiration. When I read about it in the local paper, I am so excited to have your first guest on your show. So I think that's going to be a nice milestone for you. Can you introduce the two ladies that are sitting with you today?
Yes, we are sitting here, and actually we're sitting in my little cabin here on our property, and everyone's sitting here in Be Alive shirts, so it's just a good Be Alive power here today. But I have Jenny Stanzel. I am so sorry, Stanzel, because I'm just learning her name too, right? But so is the rest of the world, which is awesome, and Jody Harskamp, and they both work for Alaska Airlines. I know they're going to tell us, you know, more about themselves today, but Jody is a captain for Alaska Airlines, and Jenny is a flight attendant, and they have quite a story.
Excellent. Jenny, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I am an Alaska Airlines flight attendant, as you know. I am 38 years old. When I was about 17, I was diagnosed with lupus, and the lupus what it does is breaks down every major organ in your body, and just recently it decided to attack my kidneys, and so I've been struggling with kidney disease for about 15 years, and it came to the point last March that I needed to go on dialysis, and now I need a kidney, and Jody just happens to be my perfect match, so...
Excellent.
That's me.
And Jody, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. Again, my name is Jody, and I'm a 737 captain for Alaska Airlines. Originally born and raised in California, and that's why I have such a sunny disposition. And then came to Alaska 10 years ago because I got hired by Alaska Airlines, and recently became a captain. Met Jenny about 4 years ago. And we hit it off. We've done a couple layovers together. Jenny and I think have pretty similar personalities. A lot of people, since this whole thing started, said we were more sisters than anything, just because we kind of act the same, and we both have a very positive outlook on life. And when Jenny needed a kidney, the word went out, and I went ahead and filled out the paperwork, and we found out we're a genetic match. So we go under surgery March 13th for me to give her my kidney.
Excellent, for sure. So, Casey, the way that we usually work this as co-hosts, and we're not in the same room, so we're not talking over each other, we usually go back and forth with questions. You ask a question, and then I do, and then we just go from there. So, Casey, how about the first questions to the ladies?
Well, I think probably people listening are wondering, you know, obviously they've known each other for a number of years and have a great working relationship and a friendship, but I think the story of how this came about, you guys, would you have more similarities with something to do with a fire? And I don't know how that happens that you both experienced this, but tell us about that. I mean, first you had a fire, Jenny, and then you did, Jody, and it's going to come full circle with this whole kidney donation. But
Jenny, I'll let you know.
Well, this is Jenny. When I was 15 years old, our house burned to the ground, and it burned for several hours, same as Jody's house. It was a log cedar home, and it went up in about 6 minutes, but burned for several hours. That was very devastating. My sisters and I all had to quit school and get jobs to support ourselves. And when I learned of Jody's house fire, it was kind of nostalgic for me. That was the first thing that came to my mind, was the feeling of the disparity and how I felt. And I really didn't know what else to do for her than to bring her a couple bottles of wine and a pan of lasagna. So that's how this whole thing started.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's how friendships were born.
This is Jody. So we, my house burned down December 11th of 2012, and Jenny had recently started at Alaska. So we can't remember if we actually flew together before that. But pretty much the first night I met Jenny was when she showed up at our temporary housing with a box in it with lasagna and a couple of bottles of wine and a hug. And then after that, when I came back to work, we flew together, and you know, I specifically remember every single person that came to the temporary housing to offer us food. I vividly remember every single person. So when I saw Jenny, I was like, oh, the lasagna was great. Here's the pan back. And
excellent.
That was how we connected in the beginning, and then we flew together a couple times after that. So, you know, at Alaska Airlines, we have a lot of crew members, and we have a lot of time where we, you know, flying, you are a family when you're flying, because you have to be. You have to get along. You have to do everything together. There's no bickering. You just do your job. And so we're big families. So when somebody needs something, we often rally and help each other out. So Jenny came to my rescue. You know, a lot of people say a lasagna is not comparable to a kidney, but it's the human gesture and the human kindness that we share up here, in, especially in Alaska, if not at Alaska Airlines. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's excellent. Just a huge message, you know, a huge message that people get from you guys and that you just share is that, yeah, you don't have to go around and you're not going to be donating kidneys every day, but there are so many things you can do for people. And you're inspiring people to want to do more already. So, yeah. Did you have a question, Robert?
Yes. My question to you guys is, number one, it's sort of a work-related question. So number one, I believe it was Jody, you mentioned that you guys are just a big family there at Alaska Airlines, and, you know, there's lots of you that fly. But are you guys – does a crew always fly together is my first question. So Jody or Jenny, do you guys kind of work together as a team on the planes quite a bit of time? And second is to Jody, I'm sorry if I'm mixing it up here, but Jody, what did your bosses say when you said, hey, I need to take this time off because I am giving my kidney to somebody else? Since you are not sick per se, you're not injured per se, but you're doing something where it's a little bit different. How do you get time off for something like that?
I'll have Jenny answer the first question.
Yeah, well, as far as the first question, we don't always fly together with the same crew. The thing that's unique about crew life is that you have to be able to trust the person that you're sitting next to with your life. You have to know that if something goes wrong, they're not only going to save our passengers, but they're going to save your life as well. And so already right there, you have a strong camaraderie. It's a little different for the pilots, I think. They sometimes are scheduled together for
a month
at a time. Yeah, for the flight attendants, you could be flying with somebody different every day. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And
Jody, what about you?
Yeah, so just to ride on the back of Jenny's answer, so pilots, we often have a roster where we fly with the same person for the whole month. You can swap out of your trips and pick different stuff up. And oftentimes, every single leg, we have different flight attendants. Anchorage being a small base, we often run into the same flight attendants all the time. So we fly together quite a bit. You know, some people like Hawaii flying, so you often see them on all the Hawaii flights, so that kind of thing. For time off, you know, I didn't really ask, told them that I would be doing this, and they said,
right.
Yes, ma'am. I think, you know, it is a major abdominal surgery. I am not sick. The company doesn't have to give me the time off if they don't want to. They have been nothing but supportive. They have said, absolutely, you can take the time off. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. I have not heard a no from them. I have not heard anything other than support and positive words coming out of my bosses, the CEO has been sending me messages, supporting me. So nothing but positive reinforcement. And, you know, I have a huge – we accrue sick leave and vacation as crew members, and I'll be using that, and that's totally fine. And but there's no problem whatsoever about me taking the time off. And, again, they're asking me if I want more time, you know, how much time do you need. And,
excellent.
And they want me to take as much time off as it's going to need for me to recover to come back. So, yeah, nothing but love from Alaska so far.
Excellent. Casey, next question.
Well, you know, these two are just becoming local celebrities here with a great message. I've heard stories from them. They can't really go anywhere right now without people recognizing them and people telling them stories of, you know, their own family members or their own situations. And I know that they're getting lots of calls from the Lower 48 and, you know, for radio interviews and stuff. So we're excited to have them, obviously, on our show. But, you know, I just wonder, what do you guys want people to know from this? I mean, I talked to Jenny last night, and, you know, it's very humbling to hear her say that I wouldn't change this for the world. You know, here she, right now for the last year, she's been on dialysis for 10 hours a day. I mean, you know, it takes away a lot of her freedoms to do things. But here she sits and says all these wonderful things have happened. And, I mean, can you tell us more about that, Jenny?
Yeah, this is Jenny here. So since the beginning of all of this, well, like I said, I've been dealing with sickness for quite a long time, and I've just become really good at ignoring my body and just living through life. But obviously, dialysis was a huge game changer for me. And at first, it was almost like being in prison. You know, you're hooked up to a machine 10 and a half hours a night. I have 25 feet of line that I can work with, so I'm very limited as to the space that I can use and go to. But I like I was telling Casey, I wouldn't change any of this for the world, because I have seen so much positive outcome, and I have seen so much light from so many people, and there's wonderful things that have come from this, and I wouldn't trade the pain, you know, that I am going through every day for anything. I wouldn't change it if I could, because it's been a life changer for me and a lot of people in my family, and I think it's made the people that are immediately around me more grateful for what they have. And there comes a time, and I hope in everybody's lives, for you realize when you leave this world, you leave with what you have, which is your body, your soul, or you know, your legacy. You leave behind what you put out in the world. You don't leave behind your possessions and your things. You know, none of that even matters. It's what you've done for other people, the good gestures you've done for people, the things that the positive energy that you put out in the world, and the changes that you make. And I just hope that this will inspire people to make changes in their lives and do good work and do good things for people. And if you're going through something traumatic, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, I've been down. Believe me, it's been hard to keep positive through this whole process, but there is always some shining star out there that will come to your rescue. It's not always going to be as bad as it is, you know, one day versus another. So just keep your head up and just keep swimming. That's been my campaign slogan since the beginning. Just keep swimming.
And you're doing
excellent.
It so well.
Great swimmer.
So my next question, guys, is a little bit about the process. I think a lot of folks know at least a little bit of information about how things work. But can one of you ladies share sort of how we get from point A to point B? I know that you had said, Jody, that you were tested and you were a genetic match. How does that whole thing work? How long does it take? That sort of thing.
Okay, this is Jody. Jenny put the word out probably in May of last year.
Yeah.
That she needed a kidney. So she started a Facebook page. She would carry the donor applications in her purse and hand it out to random strangers, ask them, hey, are you all positive? And here's a form, you know, fill it out. So you start with a form, and it's a pretty lengthy form, but it's from the medical center that will be doing the transplant, so which is Swedish in Seattle. And it's probably, I don't know, 7-8 pages or something where you fill out your basic stuff and then your medical history. They just want to know your medical history, and they'll rule you out pretty quickly if you have any sort of hypertension, heart problem, any sort of kidney problem, and you're just ruled out. So, and once you fill out this form and they review it, then they'll start asking you other questions. And while they're asking you other questions, they send you a bunch of videos to watch about, you know, what is a kidney donation? This is what you're going to be going through. Are you ready to do this? And then they have a social worker meet with you because they want to rule you out mentally if you're not really doing this for the right reason, if you feel like you're being pressured. They want to rule all that out. So before they spend any money on you, really, with labs, and because all that's very expensive, they want to do a little research on you to make sure that you might be a viable candidate. So I attended a bunch of donor meetings as well, where a lot of people that had donated their kidneys were able, I was able to answer them, ask questions, very well answer my questions, plus people who were recipients. So there was a huge panel of people that I was able to really grill with my questions. And then they start doing the blood work. So, you know, this is months. This takes months. So then they do a bunch of blood work, they test me from pretty much AIDS to Zika and everything in between. And if you have any sort of lingering illness or some sort of infection you didn't even know about or some sort of disease you didn't even know about, they'll rule you out past that. And then they mix, Jenny and I, they take her blood and my blood, they mix it together to make sure we don't have any antibodies against each other, as well as make sure our bloods dance and get along really well. So then there won't be a chance for rejection. That takes, they have to do that in some other lab. And so there's, you know, each time you do a little thing here, they have to wait for the results to see if you can go to the next phase. The last phase is a CT scan where I flew down to Seattle and had a giant horse needle stuck in my arm. I couldn't believe the size of this needle. Where they're like, oh, we're going to inject you with like 30 cc's of fluid in like 3 seconds. So the needle has to be this gigantic. And then it flushes your entire body with this dye and you feel like you're on fire. It's crazy. And then you sit in this machine and they take a picture of your kidneys. At that point, they determine which kidney they're going to take. They go by size. You know, most people are symmetrical, but there are often times where one kidney is slightly larger than the other, and they'll leave you with the larger of the two. And then to also determine if you actually have two kidneys, because some people are born with one kidney, and they don't even know it. And they might have one kidney and one deformed kidney. I mean, you just don't know until you get a picture of the inside of your body, which when you get an x-ray, you can't see your kidneys, right? So you have to do a CT scan. So, and then at that point, they tested me for kidney stones, they did ultrasounds. I mean, all of this is paid for by Jenny's insurance. So if you're a donor, none of it comes out of your pocket. So, which is a good thing. So people will donate if they know that they don't have to pay for all of the medical stuff. So the last phase was a CT scan, and then I met with the surgeon, and I was able to have all my questions answered. I met with a nephrologist, which is a kidney doctor. You know, very, very thorough vetting for this process. And then I have to go down, the surgery's the 13th. We both go down the week prior to do a lot more testing to make sure we're both still healthy and that I haven't magically had some sort of disease I didn't know about before. They test all my blood again and Jenny's and make sure we're both healthy before we do the surgery. Does that answer
Excellent.
Your question?
Just a little bit of a follow-up to that, or another point before Casey asks the next one. It is perfectly normal to live with one kidney, a normal life. You won't know too much that it's gone. Is that right, Jody?
In the beginning, you'll know. You're very fatigued, so my understanding is. I've talked to over 40 donors, and everybody, the general theme is, Jenny will feel great after the surgery, and I will feel a little run down. That's an understatement for a couple of days. And then I slowly get my remaining kidney has to kind of wake up. So your kidneys are kind of walking around on this planet running at about 40% capacity. And so when you remove one from the equation, the other one just picks up the slack and is only running at maybe 80% of capacity. So there's still actually room for the remaining kidney to to grow and do more work. So that's the beauty of kidney donation, is that you really can share your spare, and your other kidney, as long as it wakes up and does its job, after 6 weeks, you have no idea you have one kidney. Some people take a little longer to recover. Some people were running after 2 weeks. I mean, every single human body is completely different. So the range is, I'm giving myself 6 to 12 weeks to be able to come back to work. But my remaining kidney should be able to handle normal function, and I should live a long, healthy life with just one kidney.
Well, and you guys
excellent.
Have a name to this. Oh, sorry, Robert. Here I am talking over you. I was just going to say, they actually have a name. I think it's changed a couple times. Jenny had a name for this kidney that she's going to be receiving, and then Jody had a name, and I think, have you guys settled on one? Or
I think it's Joe Diva.
I really like Joe Diva.
It started out with Kevin, because my whole thing was, if you name it, it will come. So I named it Kevin. Kevin's my favorite minion. That's where that came from. I really love cartoons. So I have kids. So I named it Kevin, and then it went to Kevlina because we found out it was going to be a kid, female kidney, and now we've come up with Joe Diva.
Jody and Diva.
Right. Excellent. Casey, you have another question?
Yeah, well, I have two things for sure. I know that Jenny wanted to make sure that she talked about, you know, the amount of people waiting for kidneys in Alaska, and wanted to give some information about that. And you can choose to do this in whatever order you want. But the second part that I really want to make sure we hit is, I just want to know, you know, how you guys think this is, and this is the bigger part of the question, but how you think you're going to, this is going to change your life, and, you know, what you're going to do with this freedom that you find. But first, I know we want to get that information out, so go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Jen here. There are about 500 people in Alaska on dialysis. Right now, 450 to 500 people, and there are about 100 to 150 people on an active transplant list, meaning they're waiting for a transplant. And most of those are deceased donor transplant. And I'm very surprised to learn that there are no people out there seeking live donors. There are not a whole lot of people that have live donor applications out there. So if there's anybody out there that wants to do something good for this world and wants to donate a kidney, you can go to unos.org, and that's UNOS.org, or you can even contact Swedish Transplant Center in Seattle, and they will get you a donor application and hook you up with the right information.
And this is Jody. I'm just going to add on to that. So nationwide, there's 100,000 people waiting for a kidney. You know, the state of Alaska, the population here is, of course, only 700,000. So, you know, that seems to be right, you know, 500 people for 700,000. So 100,000 people waiting for a kidney. And of those, only 17,000 people receive a kidney every year. And so you think about how many people are added to the list every year. So there's probably maybe 20,000 added to the list and only 17 going off. So the list just keeps getting bigger. And so living kidney donors, my understanding is the living donor kidney might last a little longer than a cadaver kidney. The research I've done is really not conclusive, but you would think that, you know, you're in the same operating room, the kidney's alive, it's handed over to the recipient, and a deceased kidney donor, it might have to be flown from whatever tragic event happened to the person that's waiting for it, and, you know, the kidney's out of the body for a long time, so that maybe cadaver kidneys might not last as long. But that, I mean, I'm just speaking from, you know, maybe the research I've done, I'm no nephrologist, but so, you know, living donors, it's totally awesome. Plus, you get to be around to watch the person that got your kidney live a life. And how awesome is that? That's like so fulfilling and wonderful. And as a deceased donor, you don't get to be there.
You're not going to be there, right? But still awesome if people check the box that they want to donate,
yeah,
you know, things
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Because obviously that's something that you can choose to do, I think, when you renew your driver's license,
yeah,
or things like that. But and Jody and Jenny are actually going to be, I mean, they are going to be side by side in the operating room, and that kidney is going to come right from Jody, be lifted over. It doesn't even need to be flushed, I hear, because they have the same blood. It's just going to be put right into Jenny. So, yes, I mean, I can't even imagine how amazing that's going to be for both of you to continue your relationship in life. But, you know, Robert, these girls, these ladies, these wonderful people sitting in front of me, they get it. I mean, they both, they get it. And you meet people like this that just really inspire you, that fill you with that positive energy. I mean, obviously, I jump on that because it's everything that I want to inspire in people, you know, to just, hey, spread that positiveness. Be exciting for the people who you're around. And, you know, so what kind of things have you guys thought past this? Like, what is it going to do to your life? And what are you excited to do after you have more freedom,
Well,
Jenny?
This is Jenny here. I'm scared to actually think about that. It's almost like you want to take things one step at a time.
Well, exactly.
I have a tendency to overdo it, and that's why I have wound up in the hospital several times while I've been on dialysis, because I just overdo it. I start feeling good one day, and I just go full force and, you know, try to do as much as I possibly can. I need to remind myself to really, you know, take it easy for the first few months. But my dream, my daughter is 14 years old. I have three kids, and they're 19, 14, and 12. And my daughter is being homeschooled right now. And my dream is to travel the world with her. And obviously, being on dialysis, we're very limited. We can't do a whole lot of traveling. You know, I hope to do so many things, and not only for myself, for other people. I feel like, you know, most of my life I've been doing things for other people, small things, but maybe now, hopefully with the message that we're getting out there, we can do big things for people, and it'll become even bigger, and hopefully change lives is all about. I mean, it's not getting my face out there, or, you know, Jody's face out there. It's about changing people's lives.
And Jody here. We've done a couple interviews, and pretty much we talked about before we even did one interview, which is we're willing to talk to people because we hope that if it inspires one person to become a living donor, that in turn will change I don't know how many lives, right? I mean, Jenny's got three kids. She's going to be around to watch her kids grow up, watch her kids if they get married, have kids, whatever. I mean, the chain of happiness will be extended. My kids get to see, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. They get to live their life knowing that I did this, and maybe they'll go on to do something, or, you know, the one person making one decision affects many, many, many people down the road. And people have come out of the woodwork to just say they appreciate what we're doing. And if it just inspires somebody just to smile at somebody else and maybe
yeah.
shake their hand or buy
yeah.
them a cup of coffee or be kind to a stranger, it's totally worth it. And I think we kind of need that right now.
Yeah,
especially
we do. This
the world is
world
kind,
always
of,
needs it.
Kind of derailing at this point. So we're happy to spread a little positive love and then also have Jenny live another 50 years.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
And you guys have talked about, I've heard you both talk about how it doesn't matter, you know, who, I mean, you were giving these pamphlets out to strangers, and that you didn't go up and ask somebody about their political background. You didn't go ask
right.
them about, you know, their religion or their thoughts. You didn't ask them their thoughts on anything. You just said, you know, you're a human. You need help. You know, we all have red blood, right? We all, you know, so I think that this message is just hitting across so many things right now, and that's awesome.
And this is Jody here. My big message has been, you know, the guy that you're cyberbullying or the guy you just cut off in traffic might be your only genetic match to a liver, and you might want to be nice to that person because they might be willing to give you a piece of their liver. So, and that also, Jenny and I, you know, we're complete strangers, really, but we're a complete genetic match. So that in itself is fascinating, absolutely fascinating, that you can take two complete strangers, bring them together, and my organ will fit in her body and work. And if that doesn't wake people up, I don't really know what can wake somebody up. When you can take a, you know, so we're all inherently connected. We're all inherently connected. Biologically, there's nothing you can do about it. the guy you're standing next to in the grocery store might be your genetic match to whatever organ you need. So it's time to start, you know, smiling and being nice to one another, because in 20 years you might need a liver.
Or, you know, this is Benny here. We're all brothers and sisters, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what religion. Doesn't matter. We are all connected. We're all brothers and sisters. And, you know, I used to beat my brothers and sisters up all the time when I was a kid. But come on. I think we're all grown up listening here. So be nice. That's the message.
That is the message.
Be kind and do good work.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Robert? Do good work, be kind.
I think it's an excellent message. I think it's a great way to promote this cause, because there are so many people that are just unaware. And I think a lot of it just comes from lack of good education. You know, when I asked Jody about the process, I just think a lot of people don't know that this is available. You know, it's one of those things that you think you know about, but you really don't. There's just not a lot of public service announcements out there. There's not a lot of literature unless you really go out there and seek it. It's just not available to folks. And I think having the story told by these two ladies, it can really help. And I understand that you'll probably be on several more shows, probably radio and TV, so I do wish you well on that. But ladies, I wish you the best. I know we're just about out of time. I hope we were able to share your message, but I wish you the best, and I hope to have you guys back on after the procedure and after everything is rocking and rolling, and figure out how you guys are doing afterwards.
Well, thank you. This is Jenny. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for spreading our message. And thanks for this opportunity. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. And this is Jody. And absolutely. We'll come back on and let you know how it goes. I'd show you my scar, but I can't.
Hey, you can give us a picture. We'll put it on social media if you want, for sure. So, Casey, this is sort of a big moment for you on your little show. We just started this a couple of months ago, and you're growing your audience. People are listening all over the world. So I want to congratulate you, Casey, on finding these two miraculous ladies and having them on as your first guests here on your little podcast. I think that really helps spread the Be Alive message, and that's what we're all about. So congratulations to you as well. And Casey, anything you want to mention before we go?
Well, I feel super blessed to have these guys here. You know, I am so inspired by their message, and I hope everyone listening is too. And I'll definitely put some more information on the Be Alive Facebook page, and these ladies, they're getting it out there. They get it. They are alive. And thank you guys for spreading the Be Alive message and all the, you know, just this message of, you know, donating kidneys. And there's other things you can donate. And you guys are awesome.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm ready to be alive. Woo!
All right, ladies. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll make sure we spread around the links once it's available. And, go out there, be alive, be the best that you can be. And, ladies, take care of yourselves, and heal well, heal quickly, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Robert.
Thank you. So on behalf of my co-host, Casey Randall, this is Robert Forte. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.